Okay, today's daf is Becharos daf Nun Hey. We left off on daf Nun Dalid Amud Beis. We are at the two dots just after the Mishnah, a few lines after the Mishnah. On Nun Dalid Amud Beis, today's shir is once again sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children. We once again thank him for the continued sponsorship of the daf. So we are holding again at the two dots. The Mishnah spoke about how far animals can be apart from each other and still be mitzdareif for Meiser Behema. So the Gemara is going to discuss that even though 16 mil is the limit, if they're 32 mil apart from each other, what has to be in the middle in order to be Mitztarif then? How many animals have to be in the middle? Can other things be in the middle in order to be Mitztarif them as far as Meiser Behema is concerned? The Gemara is then going to talk about Rabbi Meir's statement in the Mishnah that the Yardane is Mafsik for Meiser Behema, that if half the animals are on one side of the Yardane, half the animals are on the other side of the Yardane, they cannot combine with each other. And we're going to spend a lot of time talking about the Yardane, both in terms of the Yardane as a Gvul and why it is different than any other Gvul that doesn't seem like the Gvul in between Shvatim, the borders between the land, the tribal holdings of different Shvatim doesn't seem to be Mafsik for Meiser Behema. Why should Yardane be any different? And the Gemara is going to discuss which part of the Yardane actually has a din of Yardane. It's a long river. It extends quite some way, but not all parts of it are actually going to have a din of Yardane. And then the Gemara is going to discuss the name of the Yardane, why it's called Yardane, what its real name is, what the meanings of the names of Yardane are. And once we're talking about the name of Yardane, the Gemara is going to talk about the name of Nahar Pras and what its real name is. And that's going to lead us to a discussion of what overflowing waters of the Nahar Pras would mean to us, and what they would mean in terms of Hilchos Mikvaos, because there are different halachos about using flowing water versus still water for a mikvah, using rain water versus natural spring water for a mikvah or a mayan. So the Gemara is going to talk about that a little bit, and that's going to bring us all the way to the Mishnah on Amud Beis. So let's begin. We're at the two dots. Hayu bein elu le'elu shlosh mushnai emil ein mitzdarfin. So we had said in the Mishnah that if there's 32 mil between half of your animals and the other half of your animals, then they're not mitzdarif, which was a troubling statement, because the line before that had said that up until 16 mil is mitzdarif. So you would imagine if there's 16.1 mil between half your animals and the other animals, kol shirei chacham kenhu, that's already too much, and that's not mitzdarif. Why would we say dafka 32? So says Gemara, shlosh mishnayim udei mitzdarfin, habatzir meyachim mitzdarfin, only if it's 32 mil between one set of animals and the other, that's when they're not mitzarif. But anything less than 32 would be mitzarif. 31 would be mitzarif. Vaktani shisha aser mil tfei lo. But then the Mishnah just tell me that dafka 16 mil is mitzarif, and anything more than 16 is not mitzarif. It's all because we're trying to set up the next line of the Mishnah, which tells us that there could be something that's mitzarif to both extremes. If there's something in the middle, it would be mitzarif to both extremes. But that something in the middle could be mitzarif even if it's up to 16 mil away from each of the extremes. So that's why we dafka set up a case where you have two on the extremes, you have two sets of animals that are 32 mil apart from each other. The kama, how many animals do you need to have at the edges and in the middle in order for them to be mitzdarif with each other? So amarav chamish mikan v'chamish mikan v'chamish be'emtza. You need five at each end and five in the middle. Tahani chamish chazi lahacha v'chazi lahacha. Slav dafka, 5, 5, and 5. The point is that when you do that siruf, you should be able to be mitzdarif whatever's in the middle with whatever's at each extreme and arrive at the number 10 independently. Meaning if it was 3 over there, 3 over there, and 4 in the middle, that would not be good enough, even though it's 10 in total. You need 10 between what's in the middle and what's at each extreme. So it could be 4 at each extreme and 6 in the middle. That would do the trick also. So chamish mikan, chamish mikan, chamish b'emtza, just creates a situation where you have 10 between the middle and each extreme. Because Dani Chamesh, the ones in the middle, Chazi Lacha v'Chazi Lacha, could be mitzarif with the behemos at each of the extremes. But if the number of behemos in the middle is not mashlim, the behemos on one side, on each side, to the number 10, then it's not going to be mitzarif to be mechayev in meiser. Now, once you have the number 10 on one side, then the other animals on the other side are also mitzarif. But if the Rashi points out, but if those that are on one side are closer to the middle within 16 amos, and those on the other side are more than 16 mil rather away, the ones that are rachok are patur legamri, and you don't need to wait until you have more tala'im to be mitzarif to another gorin. They're completely outside of this cheshbon. So that is the shita of Rav. That what you need is that you can be mitzarif to 10 with whatever's in the middle and whatever's on one of the sides. As long as you have 10 in total and there's one animal in the middle that could be mitzarif to two sides to each other. So it's not only that it's being mitzarif each side with what's in the middle, it's being mitzarif the two sides to each other through that one in the middle. So as long as you have a total number of 10, you could have it that whatever's in the middle does not add up to 10 with whatever's at each side. Chazinon l'roa k'man d'koy hacha v'karin b'mona, because we view the roa as if he's where the middle animal is, and he's able to see 16 mil in each direction, and therefore it's as if all of the behemos are in a single single flock. And even though the one that's in the middle is not mitzarif to 10 with each side, and it's not with and it doesn't really bring the two sides together because altogether it's 11, but it's mitzarif to shnei tzadim to be one eder, and therefore, meaning the one in the middle is not needed to create the number 10 either, meaning it doesn't create a number 10 with either one side, and it's not needed to create the number 10 with both sides, because both sides have the number 10, but it at least brings them all together so that that number 10 is created by being mitzarif to the two extremes. That's how Rashi explains. So now the Gemara challenges Rav. Rav had said that you need to have a total of 10 between what's in the middle and what's on one of the sides. So Meisvei, they ask on Rav from the following Braisa. If let's say you had 5 animals in Kfar Chananya and 5 in Kfar Osani, ain mitzdarfos, they're not mitzdarif to be chayv and meiser behema, because those two villages are 32 mil apart from each other. Unless you have one animal in the middle in Tzipori. So you see from the Braisa that one animal in the middle is mitzarif two extremes, that you don't need 5 in the middle to be mitzarif with the 5 in Chananya and with the 5 in Tzipori. So Tiyufta Derav, that Luchor is a major Tiyufta on Rav. It's directly against Rav Shita. So Tirgum Shmuel Aliba Derav, who jumps to Rav's defense? But Shmuel, his bar plukta, right? Shmuel comes and says, no, we could be miyashiv shitas Rav. I mean, you got to be honest, even though I disagree with Rav, this braisa is not a raya against Rav. When it says va'achas be'emtza, it's not going on the same case that the Resha was talking about, that there were 5 in each of the extreme locations. Because in Achinami, that would not be a tziruf, but rather, kigon shayu teisha mikan, v'teisha mikan, va'achas be'emtza. What the braisa was trying to tell us is that if you simply have 5 in Kfar Chananya and 5 in Kfar Osani, that's not going to be good enough. But if you were to have 9 in Kfar Chananya, 9 in Kfar Osani, and one animal in the middle in Tzipori, that would be enough. Because that one, together with the 9 on each of the extremes, equals 10 in each direction, and that way it will be mitzarif according to Rav. Then the Gemara brings now, there's another way to be mitzarif behemos that are very far apart from each other. Amar Rav Papa, Uli Shmuel, according to Shmuel, that the middle ones are mitzarif, the ones on the side, even though it's not mashlim, the number 10, so then you don't even need an animal in the middle, you just need something to to be mitzdarif. See, the way Rav had it was it needs to be mashal the number 10. Whatever's in the middle needs to be mashal the number 10. So whatever's in the middle must be animals. But Shmuel didn't even require that it be mashal the number 10. What you're really being mitzdarif are the two extremes. You just need a tziruf in the middle. So what creates a tziruf? Lav dafka an animal. Afilu roa mitzarfan. Even just the presence of the shepherd in the middle is mitzarif them. Afilu Caleb shel roa mitzarfan. Even the Kalim of the Roa is mitzarif them, which is stunning, right? The Kalim of the Roa, he's not even there, but his stuff is there, and that's considered as if he's there because he's going to have to go there to get his stuff. He's going to have to retrieve his things from that location, and when he's going to retrieve his things from that location, he's going to be able to see the behemos on each side, because he could see up until 16 mil. All the years teaching in high school, the Talmidim always had this idea that you're late to class, no, my bag is here. So if the kalim are here, then I'm okay. It's ki'ilu I'm here. Sometimes the bag was paid more attention than the talmidim, but still, having the bag there, that was it. That defined it. So by Ravashi, kalba daro am I. What's the din? If in the middle between the two behemos you only have the dog that the shepherd uses, is that enough to be mitzdarif? Is that as good as the kelim? So what are the tzadim? Even the kari leva'asi, since if the roa couldn't call the dog, the dog would come to him, lo mitzdarif. Maybe it's not mitzdarif, because the dog in the middle doesn't put the roa in the middle necessarily, because the roa could summon the dog to come to him. Sometimes dogs are not super obedient, and even though you call it to come to you, it doesn't, and you're going to have to go schlep and get the dog. So the roa mentally views himself as if he still needs to be in that spot where the dog is, and therefore maybe that would be enough to be mitzdarif. So the Gemara is not sure. Teku, we leave that as a suffix, and we buy the loiv shita. Okay, next. Rameir Omer. Hayarden mafsik lemaiser behemah. Rameir said that the yarden could be mafsik as far as maiser behemah is concerned, meaning if you have animals on either side of the yarden, they're not mitzarif with each other. Amra biamiloshanu ella she'ein sham gesher. That's only true if there's no bridge that goes over the yarden to make it easily accessible from one side to the other. Aval yesh sham gesher, but if there's a gesher that combines the two sides, that joins the two sides of the yarden, gesher mitzarfan, then enochinami, the animal on each side are going to be mitzdarif to the shear of Meiser Behemah, to the minion of Meiser Behemah. So the Gemara makes a deal. Al mishum delo mikarvanu. It sounds that Rabbi Ami holds the reason the Yarden is mafsik is because the behemos and the shepherd are not able to get to each other easily. They're not close enough to have access to each other. But meisvei. But if that's the case, I'll ask on Rabbi Ami from the following brisa. Hayu lo b'shnei evrei Yarden elach ve'elach. If a person had 10 animals scattered on the two sides of the Yarden, this side and that side, o b'shnei avtilaos. Or they're scattered in two large cities in a single malchus. Kigon shel Namar v'Namori, like the city of Namar and the city of Namori. They're close to each other. They're in one meal, but they're two different cities. Ein mitzdarfin. They're not considered to be mitzdarif to be a single flock for Meiser Behemah. They ain't Sarich Lomar, and certainly it doesn't even need to be said, Chutzal Aretz Va'aretz, if half of your flock is in Chutzal Aretz and half is in Eretz Yisrael, that it's not mitzdarif together. Don't they have access to each other? Meaning they're within proximity, they're within close enough, less than 16 mil apart from each other. Why should the fact that the border of Eretz Yisrael separates half of these animals from the other half make any difference? It's if they have access to each other, v'katani, and it still says lo mitzdarfin, that even with access to each other, they're not mitzarif to be chayv and meister. So it sounds like even if all the behemos are within a single meal from each other, but some are in Eretz Yisrael, some are in Chutz Lartz, they're not mitzarif, and therefore that's against Rabbi Ami. Why should two sides of a yarden, as long as there's a bridge, why should that be enough to be mitzarif them? Access doesn't really matter. The point is, they're in two separate geographical locations, regardless of distance. On a map, there would be a line on a map that would separate them. And that's all that matters. So the Gemara gives another reason for Rav Meir that the Yarden is mafsik for Meiser Behema. Ela Amar Bichir Baraba Amar Rav Yochanan Hainu Taimid Rav Meir. It's not about accessibility from one side to the other, and therefore it would be affected by a bridge. No, the reason Rav Meir says the Yarden is mafsik, the Amar Krak, because the pasuk says when it talks about the Nachla that the Bnei Binyamin had in Sefer Yoshua, pasuk says by Yarden Yigbol Oso Lepaas Kedma, that the Yarden is a gvul on the eastern side. Hakosav Aso Gvul Bifnei Atzmo. So you see that the Navi defines Yarden as a gvul, and if it's a gvul, it's going to divide, it's going to separate the flock into two separate units. Ela Me'ata, if that's the case, that you're learning that anything that's a gvul is going to automatically separate the flock. Vato'er Hagvul, Va'olla Hagvul, Hachinam Yakosav Aso Gvul Bifnei Atzmo. Would you say the same of anything that's called a gvul between the area of two shvatim, that if you have some animals in one shevet's property and other animals in another shevet's property, the fact that there's a gvul between the two shvatim to separate the tribal holdings of the different shvatim, that's going to be enough to separate it from Meiser Behema, even if they're within 16 mil of each other? And if that's the case, then why would the Braisa say that Chutz La'aretz and Eretz Yisrael are not mitzdarif? You could say even better, within Eretz Yisrael they're not mitzdarif, as long as one is in this shevet, one is in that shevet. So it sounds like within different shvatim they would be mitzdarif, but if what drives the halacha of Yarden is that Yarden is a gvul, then even within different shvatim it shouldn't be mitzdarif. So it says Marno, Shaini Hasam, Da'amar Kras, Zostia Lechem Ha'aretz, L'gvuloseha Saviv. Now, but when it comes to the nachlos of the shvatim, even though each of them has their own gvul, but the gvul that divides between the shvatim is not a significant enough gvul to separate the two sides of Meiser Behema, because the pasuk says about the gvulos of Eretz Yisrael in general that it's l'gvuloseh saviv. So you have this larger gvul around all of Eretz Yisrael that's therefore mitzdarif whatever is inside of it. So Ihachi says, yeah, but if that's the case, then Yarden Nami, the Yarden should also be considered what's within the borders of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore it should not separate. Just like the tribal borders shouldn't separate, the Yarden shouldn't separate. Says Gemara, Eretz velo Yarden. The pasuk said Eretz to tell me that all of the land mass is considered to be within a single gvul, but the Yarden is going to be different. The gvul of a Yarden is not included in the broader gvul of all of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore it can prevent a tziruf of the behemos from the two sides of the Yarden. So it says, "Mar Bishlam the Rabbi Chibaraba Hainu Diktani Yarden El Rabbi Ami Lusninu Lukulu Naharos." So I understand very well, according to Rabbi Chibaraba, that's why Rabbi Meir said Dafka that the Yarden prevents a tziruf of behemos from the two sides, because the pasuk calls the Yarden a gvul, so he's being mechadish that it's a hefsik between the two sides. So it makes sense that it would be, because the pasuk calls it a gvul. But according to Rabbi Ami's understanding, that it's all about accessibility from one side to the other, why would the Rav Meir Dafka talk about Yarden? It could be any body of water that prevents you from going from one side to the other. It wouldn't. Why does he Dafka pick on Yarden? So that's Kasha, that's difficult. Another difficulty with Rabbi Ami. So again, just to summarize, Rav Meir had the Shita that if the Yarden is in between half of your animals and the other half of your animals, then it's not mitzarif. Why? Why wouldn't it be mitzarif? So we had two shitos. Rabbi Ami said it's not mitzarif because they simply don't have access to each other. But if there was a bridge that they could access each other, then it would be fine. So and the other shita was Rabbi Chiya Baraba. Rabbi Chiya Baraba said no, it's because the Navi where the Torah defines Yarden as a gvul, and because it's called the gvul, that's what makes it separate two different things. So in the end of the day, the Gemara had rejected, seems to have rejected Rabbi Ami for a couple of reasons. First, we had said that first we had said we had rejected based on a right, we had rejected based on a brisa first. That we said Chutz La'aretz and Eretz Yisrael. We said that when you have some in Chutz La'aretz, some in Eretz Yisrael, or some in one city, some in another, even though they have total access to each other, even that is not mitzdarif. So that's one strike against Rabbi Ami. because if it's all about access, then why should two different cities make a difference? And the second strike against Rav Yami is why Dafka pick Yarden? Any body of water would accomplish the same thing, and that's why the Gemara seems to lean in the direction of Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. Says Gemara Kitanai, this issue of whether Yarden prevents a tziruf is in fact machlokas tanaim, meaning Rav Meir the Tana said that it does prevent a tziruf, but it's in fact machlokas tanaim because the pasuk says ki atem ovrimis Yarden artsa kenaan. So artsa Eretz Kanaan. Artsa, Dafka Artsa, the land is called Eretz Kanaan, v'lo hayarden Eretz Kanaan. But the Yarden is not called Eretz Kanaan, it's a gvul that's mafsik between Chutz La'aretz and Eretz Yisrael. Div Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, that's Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira's opinion. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Omer, Harehu Omer, the Pasuk says when it talks about Ruvain and Gad and Chatzi Shev Menashe taking their portion on Eivar Yarden, it says, Me Eivar Li Yarden Yerecho Kedma Mizracha. So we darshan Yarden Yerecho as follows. Ma Yerecho Eretz Kanaan, Af Yarden Eretz Kanaan. Just like Yerecho is called the Chelek of Eretz Kanaan, so to Yarden is Eretz Kanaan. So according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, the Yarden is mafsik the two sides because it's not included in the gvul that's around Eretz Yisrael. Whereas according to Rabbi Shimon Yochai, it's not going to be mafsik because it is included in the gvul that's around Eretz Yisrael. It is Eretz Kanaan. It is part of Eretz Yisrael. It's a chelek of Eretz Yisrael. So that's in fact the machlokas tanaim whether the Yarden is going to separate. So now the Gemara explains why that not every part of the Yarden is actually called Yarden. Amar Rabbi Chanan Rabbi Yochanan. Ein Yarden ella mi Beis Yerecho ulamata. Yarden is only from the area of Beis Yerecho and lower down toward Yam HaMelech, not the uppermost part of it that mixes in with other Yamos Gedolos, with other large bodies of water, and it's only Yarden a little bit lower down. L'may Hilchasa L'gabe, what Allah is important to know exactly where along the flow is it called Yarden. If we're talking about someone who takes a neder, he says that I'm taking a neder, I'm not going to drink from the Mei HaYarden, so we need to know which waters he's not allowed to drink from. Well, that wouldn't depend based on an objective definition of what's called Yarden, because by Nedarim the rule is Halecha Achar Lashon B'nei Adam. By Nedarim we always go with what people call things. V'kalecha D'karulei Yarden Itzarlei. So whatever people call the Yarden would become Aser Tim. It would have nothing to do with what we objectively define as Yarden. Elo the Meiser Behema. It must be that this is as far as the Halacha of Meiser Behema is concerned. That if you accept what Meir says that the Yarden is mafsik for Meiser Behema, you need to know where it's going to be called Yarden. So the Gemara brings a raya, a brisa to Rabbi that says like Rabbi Yochanan that only the lower part of the Yarden is actually called Yarden. Tanya Nami Yafi Yarden Yotzi Mimaoras Pimyas. Yarden begins by leaving the cave of Pamyas. Umahalich biyama shel Sivchi, ubiyama shel Tveria, and it goes through the Kinneret, ubiyama shel Sodom, and the Yama Melach, vaholich v'nofel yama gadol, and it ultimately reaches the Yama Gadol. The Ein Yarden ela mi Beis Yerecho ulamata, but it's only called Yarden in the bottom part from Beis Yerecho ulamata. So that's the exact area that we refer to as Yarden. Okay, now the Gemara discusses a little bit about the name Yarden. Yarden. Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Lama nikra shemo Yarden. Why is the name of the river called Yarden? She yorid midan. It goes down from a place of Dan. Amar le Rabbi Abba le Rav Ashi. Atun mehasa masni sula. You learn that the Yarden comes from Dan just based on its name, the etymology of the word, and not mehachamas nilah. Whereas we learn it from something else, from a pasuk in Sefer Yoshua, vayikru lo lileshem don b'shem don aviem. V'amar Rabbi Yitzchak leshem zu pamyas. Leshem is pamyas, and it was called don based on the shem don aviem. V'tanya yotze Yarden mima'aras pamyas. Yarden begins at Maris Pamyas. So you see that the Yarden is Yotze Midan. So how do I know the Yarden is Yotze Midan? Not just from the word Yarden, that it's Yored Midan, but from the description in Sefer Yoshua about how Pamyas really is Dan. Amar Rav Kahana, Zachrusi Diyardena, the source of the Yarden, Mima'aras Pamyas, is from Ma'aras Pamyas. Heicha da Amar lo shasina mayim Mima'aras Pamyas. If a person says, I'm not going to drink water from Ma'aras Pamyas, itzale b'kula yardena. He's not allowed to drink from the entire Yarden because it all begins at Ma'aras Pamyas. So all of the water of the Yarden is essentially from Ma'aras Pamyas. Zachrusa de dama kavda, the source of the dam that comes out of the liver, it comes out from the liver, is from the liver. That's the statement that we're saying, that the makar of the dam, the source of where dam comes from, is from the liver. Rabbi Yitzchak, like Rabbi Yitzchak says, dam Rabbi Yitzchak kavit shenimoach mitame berevius, a liver of a dead body that liquefies and becomes a mashka, if it has a sheer revius, it's metame ba'ohel. Because now, normally the halacha is basar min ames is metame b'kezayis. A kezayis of basar min ames is metame ba'ohel. What's metame b'revius? Dam min ames is metame ba'ohel b'revius. So why should the liver that liquefies be metame b'revius? Because the entire thing is dam. So you see that the whole thing is considered to be the whole mahus of the kaved is that it is dam. Zachrusa demaya pras. The makar of all of the rivers in the world is from Nahar Pras. It all emanates from Nahar Pras. Meaning the idea, Tartz Bima writes in the beginning of Sefer Bereishis, that everything that's created in the world has a koach hamashpia and a koach hamakabel. The koach hamashpia is called the zachrusa, that's what we're referring to as zachrusa, and the makabel is what we always call the nekeva. So zachrusa demaya pras means that the koach hamashpia of mayim is all nahar pras, right? That's in general, that's what we, the male is always considered to be the nosen or the mashpia, the female is always considered to be the mekabel, just like reproductively HaKadosh Baruch Hu made us in such a way where the male is a nosen, the woman is a mekabel. So al pi hashkafa, it's supposed to be that way as well, that a man should always view himself as a provider, as a nosen, so that his wife can be a mushpa, can be on the receiving end, and therefore in all of the bria we refer to the zachar as that which is mashpia and the nekeva as that which is mushpa, that which is receiving. So zachrusa demaya is pras. Rav Yudam Rav says, "I know that meimi pras also we call meimi shabolim. Person takes a neder from meimi pras, he's not allowed to have any water in the whole world. Say chidami. What's the case exactly? If he says, I'm not going to drink from the waters of nar pras, mei pras who the lo shasina minar achrin shasina. He said dafka meimi pras he's not going to drink from, but other rivers he will drink from, because by nedarim we're not looking at what the reality is. What is really the mashpia? What is really the mushpa? By nedarim we just said we always look at Lashon B'nai Adam. So if he said he's only not drinking from Nahar Pras, implicit in that is that he's still leaving himself something to drink from. Ela da'amar lo shasina mi mayim da'asu mi pras. Now what he says is, I'm not going to drink from any water that emanates from Pras, and that's why he's not going to drink anything. Dam Rav kol ha'naharos lamata mi shalosh naharos. All the rivers in the world are below the two rivers that are lower down than the Chidekel, the Pishon, and the Gichon. All the rivers in the world come from those three. V'shalosh naharos lamatami pras, and those three all come from Pras. So everything all ultimately goes back to Pras, which is the highest of all of them. And Mayim always goes mimakom kavoa lamakom namuch. Right? That's something. That's why the Torah is nimshal lamayim. The Gemara tells us, I think, in Maseches Tainis, right, that the Torah is nimshal lamayim because that's the very nature of water. That water always goes lamakom namuch. And one of the probably the most important midah in order for one to be kona Torah is that a person needs to have a sense of anivus. And that's why those who gave us the Torah in the most impactful ways were always the Anav Mikol Adam. Moshe Rabbeinu gave us Torah Shebichsav, and the Torah tells us about him that he was Anav Mikol Adam. And who gave us the Torah Shebal Peh as we know it? Mishnayis, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. Rabbi Mishameis Rebbe says the Gemara at the end of Sota, Batla Anava. Anava was gone. So you always have that Ravina Ravashi also, our Chazal talk about their anivus, that anyone who gave us Torah in a very impactful way and who made a serious mark on Torah learning, and it traces through the generations. Chavetz Chaim was known as an incredible anav. Moshe Feinstein was known as an incredible anav. So anivus is always that, so that's why Torah is nimshal lamayim, that the Torah always goes. There are other meanings also of the Torah being nimshal lamayim, but that's one that the Gemara highlights, that the Torah always goes lamakom namach. It always goes to the lowest place. So that's we always know that's the reality, that if you have a leak in your ceiling, you don't know that the problem in the roof is right above where it is in the ceiling. You just know that's now the lowest part of your ceiling. Problem could be coming from the other side of your house. That's just the nature of water. So that's what we're saying. So Nahar Pras must be the highest of all the rivers because all the water comes from there. So Frak the Gemara, Vahaika, but don't we have a Nasa Dimidalion? Aren't there Mayanos of Mayim that are from higher up in the mountain that are higher than Nahar Pras? So how could you say that those waters come from Nahar Pras? They're more elevated than Nahar Pras. Samra Misharshia, Hanu Sulmi de Prasninu. That water comes from Nahar Pras under the ground and goes up through some sort of cave or pipes under, not pipes, but natural pipes under the ground, goes up the sulamos in order to feed those mayanos. Vaksiv, but the pasuk when it's mefarit the four naharos that are yotzi migan Eden, the pasuk says vanar haravi hu pras. It sounds like nar haravi makes it sound like it's one of the number. Meaning, whenever you say there are four of something, it by definition that's equating all of them. So saying the fourth one sounds like it's not different. It's not the makar of the other three. Then it would be the one and the other three. Samar of Nachum Yitzchak v'itamer of Acha bar Yaakov. Hu pras deme ikara. The Torah says hu pras to let us know that the nar pras was the original one. That the nar yotzei meidin lahashkos hasagan umisham yipari vayel arba rashim. Pasuk says that's nar pras is the nar that's yotzei migan Eden. The other three naharos are nimshach from Nahar Pras. Okay, now the Gemara is going to bring, once we're talking about Nahar Pras, so a little bit about Nahar Pras, about the name of Nahar Pras. Tanya, Ramei Romer, Yuval Shemo, its name is Yuval. Shenemar, Pasuk in Yirmiyahu talks about someone who has true bitachon, and it says, Vahaya ke'etz shasal al mayim va'al yuval yishalach shoroshav, that this person is like an etz achayim that's in Gan Eden, and this etz drinks from the Nahar Yuval, and the pras is the nar that's mashka Gan Eden. So you see that if the etz, that's the etz achayim that's in Gan Eden, is irrigated, is watered from Yuval, and we know that the water that irrigated Gan Eden was pras, so Yuval must be pras. V'lama nikra shmo pras. Okay, so if it's Yuval, then why do we call it pras? Shemema parim v'ravim. That's a reference to its nature, that its waters are misrabe on their own. Even if it doesn't rain, it's like a natural mayan hamisgaber that just produces its own water. That it's mema parim v'ravim. Rashi in Chumash and Bereisha says shemema parim v'ravim. Then he adds umavriyin es ha'adam, and then he says it's the most chashuv of all of them. The Maskil Dov explains that originally Rashi brings the drush of Arasugya, and then he adds that even if it's not greater than the other rivers, it's still the chashuv, most chashuv of them, because it's in Eretz Yisrael. So that's what Rashi adds on Chumash, beyond the fact that it's the core of Eretz Yisrael, that's going to be the greatest chashivus that it's going to have. But Argamar just says that it's the nature of the water that it's parim v'ravim. The Shittim Kibetz says in Agos Tzionim adds, and the Chum Omrim Prashimo, that the Chum disagree and they say that its name is actually Pras. Meaning we quote a Bryce over here, but we only quote one opinion, that Rameir Omer Yuval Shimo. The Rameir says Yuval is its name. So Shittim Kibetz add that the Chum Omrim that Pras Shimo, that its real name is actually Pras. So Tosfos writes that it could be that Chum don't disagree with the Metzius, that Nahar Pras is Misborich Mimakoro, and that it's a Mayan Amisgaber. It could be they held that that's why it was called Pras originally. For a mayor said Lamanikra Shmo Pras is because he held that originally it was called Yuval, and then the name was changed to Pras. The Chum just told that it was always called Pras, but it could be that they agree that the reason it was always called Pras is because it was a descriptive name. So based on this, we're going to learn a halacha in Hilchos Tevila, based on the character of Pras that we just described, that it's a Mayan HaMisgaber, so we're going to learn a halacha In Hilchos Tevila, in Hilchos Tevila, a little bit of background. A person is tovel. A person is tameh is tovel can be tovel in megishamim. That's what we call mayim notvim. But that only works if the water is still. If it's not being zochel, if it's not flowing from one place to the other. But mei mayanos or mei naharos are called mayim zochlim. They're mitaher even when they are being zochel. So if you want to use rainwater to be mitaher yourself, that's fine, but it's got to be standing still in a basin, in a bar. Not a basin, a built-in-the-ground bar. But if you want to use flowing waters to be mitaher, that's also fine as long as they are naturally flowing waters, and then it could even be flowing. So what Meir says in the Brisa, that Nahar Pras is a naturally flowing body, that's and it doesn't need rainwater, that's a raya to Shmuel. Damar Shmuel, Nahara Mikipe Mibarech. The river is misbarich from its source, meaning it's an underground spring that constantly feeds it, and even when it's raining, then the strength of the river does not come so much from the rain; it comes from from its natural source. So this is a halacha as far as tevila in a river, that even if it rained a whole lot, you're still allowed to be tovel in the river, even though the river is flowing. You don't have to be worried that you're being tovel in megishamim that's flowing, which would passel your tevila, because the river is fundamentally fed from the natural sources underground. Upligad Rav, and that's against Rav. Dam Rav Ami Amar Rav, Mitra B'marava, Sahad Rava Pras. When rain comes down in Eretz Yisrael, Nahar Pras is going to be the big witness to let you know in Bavel whether it's raining in Eretz Yisrael. Because since Nahar Pras extends from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, and when it's overflowing with water, that would be recognizable in Bavel, and you'll know that it's been raining a lot in Eretz Yisrael. So what Rav is trying to tell us is a halacha in Hilchos Tevila, that you can't be tovel in the Nahar Pras when it just rained a lot, because you are primarily being tovel in megishamim, and it's moving megishamim, and that's problematic. So that's against Shmuel. Shmuel said, no, there's no amount of rain that's ever going to affect in our press where we say that it's called that you're being tovel in megishamim. So the Gemara brings a maisa where we find that that Shmuel's father, Shmuel's own father, didn't assume like Shmuel, that he assumed like Rav. Avod Shmuel, Avoduhu, the Banase, Mikvah B'yomei Nisan, Umaftse B'yomei Tishrei. He would make for his daughters a mikvah of Mayim Mechunasim, of regular mikvah, of gathered still water in the Tkufas Nisan, when they to be mitar themselves in the time of the year of Nisan, and he would just put mats on the bottom of the river in Yomei Tishrei that they shouldn't get mud on their feet when they toveled, and it wasn't because he was worried about their cleanliness, he was worried about a chatzitza, that if there's mud on their feet, then it would be a chatzitza between their bodies and the water. So that's why he dafka put mats down in Yom Tishrei. Mikvah b'yomei nisan. What's that?
Let's say, I got a bad
Tamar
and I got a mats.
Yeah, zinida. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, zinida as well. Mikvah b'yomei nisan. So he put down he made a mikvah for them during Chodesh Nisan, and he didn't allow them to be tovel in the river because Savar la karav, Dam Rav Ami Amar Rav, Mitra b'marava, Sada Rava Pras. That if it rained too much, so if Nisan is right after the rainy season was over, so if there was a lot of rain in Eretz Yisrael, they couldn't go to the mikvah in the river because it's mostly rainwater according to Rav, and it's flowing. Shema yirbu notfin al azochlin. There may be more megishamim than there could be natural waters of the river. Vavalu megishamim ruba. The majority is going to be the megishamim, and therefore you're not going to be able to be tovel in the river. But umachzi biyomi tishrei during tkufas tishrei, where there was no rainwater, it's right after the summer, so they were certainly allowed to be tovel in the river. All he needed to do was put some mats down, so they wouldn't have any mud on their feet. That would be a chatzitza in the tevila. The halacha is that on a drabbanan level, a chatzitza is even on a miut of the body, hamakpid, even if it's only on a small part of the body, but it's something that a person would be makpid about. That would be a chatzitza at least on a drabbanan level. Upliga didea didei, and Shmuel, who said that the nar is nisraba mimakoro, more and therefore it's always the natural waters are always going to outnumber the rainwater, is actually Soser himself. Damer Shmuel Eina Mayim Nitarim Bezochlin Ela Pras B'Yomei Tishrei. Big Shmuel said that the river waters are not mitar when they are flowing, and they don't stand, and they're not standing in one place except for Pras during Tishrei. That during Tishrei, where you just had a lot of dry months, that's when Pras you can rely on is not rainwater, is purely natural water that is flowing, and that's why you could be mitar yourself. But the implication is that that when it is rainy season, or right after the rainy season, in Yom Nisan, you're not going to be able to be Tovel and Pras, because you have to worry about the fact that that the rainwater may be overpowering the natural water. So even though Shmuel sounded like he disagrees with Rav, he also disagrees with himself. You know, elsewhere, he said exactly like Rav, and exactly like Avua de Shmuel, exactly like his own father, that we are concerned at certain times that there will be more rainwater than there will be natural spring water in the river. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, next time we'll pick up at the Mishnah.